Roll call.
Ooh, Jim, you made it.
Jeez. Roll call for Monday, February 25th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader. Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich. Esquibel, Geis,
here.
Hastert,
here.
Hicks,
here.
Hines,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
excused,
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Ross,
here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Veit.
I'd like to offer a prayer for guidance as we finish this week. Let us pray. O God, who is great, who is justice, who gives light that draws us out of the darkness, grant us in all our doubts, uncertainties, and our certainties, the grace to ask what you would have us do, that we may receive the spirit of wisdom, peace, and confidence, knowing and hoping that your will was done in all things. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lay ball! Lay
ball! Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Reading clerk will read the journal committee report.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 22nd, 2013, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. The doctor of the day is Aaron Wilson from Cheyenne, and the nurse of the day is Cindy Woods from Wheatland. Thought for the day is, take time to deliberate, but when the time for action has arrived, stop thinking and go in. Messages from the House.
February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 441, Committee of the Whole, indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file 137, Protection of Animals. Ayes 20, noes 37, excused 3. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 9, Private Transfer Fees. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Senate File 16, Aeronautics Program. Ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2. Senate File 29, Hitchhiking. Ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2. House Senate File 80, State Auditor Employee Payment Method Amendments. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. Senate File 84, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Premiums. Ayes 51, noes 8, excused 1. Senate File 99, Water and Sewer District Electors. Ayes 59, excused 1. Senate File 113, Insurance Guarantee Association Act Amendments, ayes 59, excused 1. And Senate File 115, Protective Services Investigation Amendments, ayes 51, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. We got more? February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 436, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 75, Honor Farm Horse Program. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 440, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 83, Medicaid Fraud Recovery. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 47, noes 12, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message number 438, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 90, Administrative Control of Acquired Institutional Lands. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 434, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 146, Termination of Parental Rights. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 437, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 86, County Offices Business Days. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 53, noes 6, excused 1. Message number 439, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 147, Stroke and Heart Attack Treatment Centers. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 36, noes 23, excused 1. Message number 435, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 162, Authorized Taking of an Eagle. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 437, third reading passed, corrected copy. Mr. President, Senate File 86, County Offices Business Days. The bill listed passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Ayes 53, noes 6, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Concurrences. Well, before we do that, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I wanted to go over the goldenrod and also the governor's vetoes of the budget bill, just for the information of the body. And you probably all have the budget bill that passed and the governor's veto message. Mr. President, I'll go through it very quickly, and then if there's questions, I'll get to them. First of all, and I'm just going to go through in the order that he presented them to us, and some of them he just expressed concerns, and some of them he actually did veto. Mr. President, the first one was under Section 20, which is page 21 of your budget bill, if you have your budget bill handy, page 21 of your budget bill. And this is where he went into the language dealing with the landfills account that we have. And Mr. President, we came into that account at the beginning of this general session with $30 million in that account. Your budget bill added $15 million to that account. What their governor did with his veto by eliminating the word $5 million has access to $30 million of that account to fight fire suppression. And Mr. President, that was what the veto did. So there is access for him there to use up to $30 million of that landfill's account to fight fires. Mr. President, that brings the total amount of money that's available to him to fight fires to $61.2 million. Of that amount, $8 million will be utilized to pay bills for the previous year. The rest is all on the table. The only other thing that is available to him in that consideration is $1 million he may be able to, if he wants to, allocate to fight the beetles up in the northeastern part of our state. He did leave in there the stipulation that would recommend that the count be refilled in the 2015-16 budget. Mr. President, the next section he did was Section 67 on page 63. He did not veto this, but you recall this was the Nicholas Amendment. And there were a litany of things that we thought that the Board of Trustees should address relative to some concerns that the legislature had in different areas at the university. Mr. President, the next thing he did was Section 300 on the second page of his message, Section 300E. He applauded, I like that, Mr. President, he applauded the legislature for its work on the SIPA account. He agreed with that. However, he has saw some potential problems in the Section 300G, and if you recall, 300G was where we set up the $450 million in the PLF holding account to protect the Common School Permanent Land Fund, and then once it got over $475 million, that would tip into the Common School Fund account. He didn't veto that, but he had some concerns about it. Mr. President, the next thing he did veto was Section 300H. And, Mr. President, what this did is it dealt with the, let's see here, it dealt with some funds that we have for balancing. And, Mr. President, these funds are utilized in case we have a shortfall in our sales tax or severance tax revenues for the general fund, and these funds are available to balance that. The language we had in this particular section said that those funds would revert to the LSRA at the end of November of this year. He vetoed that, so those funds, if they are available, and they could come from capital gains and other sources, would not reverse to the LSRA until at the end of the biennium. Mr. President, the next thing he did was Section 317, and this is where we were talking about the community colleges and trying to get a consistent message, so where, in fact, we funded those buildings to be built, that they would all be taken care of in terms of the major maintenance. The budget bill required no additional money, but he has concerns down the road how we would address that. Mr. President, the next thing he did was Section 319, and he did veto this one. This is on page 70 of your budget bill. Mr. President, this deals with a mandatory 2%, 4%, and 6% cuts that we had in there. If, in fact, the budget bill or the Craig report was whatever, regardless of what the Craig report was, we would ask for the 2%, 4%, and 6% cuts. He vetoed that portion of it. He also vetoed the portion of it asking the courts to have any kind of a reduction at all. And so the way the language stays now, Mr. President, is that unless, now if the budget, if the budgets come in underneath the Craig estimate, then he has to address some budget cuts. But if the Craig estimate is over where it is now, no budget reductions are requested, and that's the portion he vetoed. However, Mr. President, your Appropriations Committee is seriously considering asking them to do these rejections anyway. The last thing he did, Mr. President, is on the last page, which is Section 330, and there again, he did not veto it, but he has some concerns. Section 330, members of the Senate, deals with the employee contribution plan, and he's concerned about the adoption of the hay compensation plan and not keeping up with that. And with that, Mr. President, if you go to the goldenrod, I'll try to point out where these differences occurred. And the first one is if you turn to page 5, and you look under the Municipal Solid Waste Landfill Remedying Account, you can see that we have $45 million on the sheet after the Joint Conference Committee report. You can see where $30 million of that is deleted for fire suppression. That goes down to $15 million. Understanding, members of the Senate, that this is permissive in the sense that he would only use it if we have a fire situation that comes up, and then he would be able to capture that money and use it for that purpose. The other thing, Mr. President, is going back to page 1, the number we always look at under expenditures is the budget bill brought transfers to the LSRA. That's the amount of money that's left on the table from when we started this session that would roll forward into the next biennium, and that's $6.2 million. Mr. President, if you turn to page 2, you can see the appropriations that are going through this general session. You see the, if you look at total all bills in the 2013 general session of $6.08 million, that's the amount of money that's still on the table with bills that are out there, and some have passed. Mr. President, this money is profiled. So this $6 million is profiled into the $6 million that you see on the front page that I just discussed. If any of this money, if these bills fail, that will add to the $6 million. The last thing, Mr. President, if you go to page four, under the School Foundation Program, there are several bills that have gone off the list, but the main one is the school, or the, it was House Bill 230, SORs in our schools. That was a $2.3 million appropriation. Mr. President, your Joint Appropriations Committee eliminated that appropriation on the re-referral, but that bill did not make it past Committee of the Whole, so that bill is dead for the session. With that, Mr. President, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions or discussion? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was asked over the weekend by a couple of our public employees where our retirement situation stands, and I had to admit to them that I couldn't answer that. And so if the Appropriations Chairman could catch us up a little bit, I know that we spent a great deal of time deliberating and kind of landed in a spot where we were going to ask the public employees to step up a little bit. The state was going to step up a little bit. So where do we stand on all that?
Thank you. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. The situation is, if you recall, that's House Bill 250, the state retirement. And when that bill came over from the House, there was a 0.5% increase to the retirement fund this fall, 0.5% increase to the retirement fund next fall, all to be paid by the state. And when that particular bill left the Senate, it was decided that half of the increase, half of the 0.5% this fall, half of the 0.5% next year, or if you look at a total 1% increase, half of that would be paid half by the employees and half by the state. So the 1% increase would be paid half by the employees and half by the state. That's the way the Senate left that. Your conference committee met with a like kind from the like number of people from the House. We discussed it. They were not interested in the Senate position at all. We were not interested in the House position, so we more or less terminated that meeting. It was 3 or 4 hours later, and they came back to us and said, would you consider a possible resolution? And we said, sure, what do you want to do? So they threw a number at us and a resolution, a kind of a compromise, and we adopted the compromise. And Mr. President, you'll be seeing that Joint Conference Committee report hopefully today. And I can get into it very quickly. The compromise is that for this first 0.5% that goes into effect this fall, half of it will be paid by the state and half will be paid by the employee. The next 0.5% that kicks in next year, all of that will be paid by the state for 3 years, and then after 3 years, it will be split 50-50. So the compromise is we split it the first year. The second year, they get it 100% by the state for 3 years, and after that, it's split 50-50.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you. I'm just so tagging on to that question. Where House Bill 250 is profiled at 1.875, will that then change in through this compromise, or is that a hard number right there?
Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, that number should change, and as soon as it won't change until we actually have the Joint Conference Committee report. That's my understanding. But that Joint Conference Committee report includes all of the funds in there, plus I'll have a cheat sheet that I'll send out that I'll distribute to the Senate so we understand exactly how the money flows and what the costs are, so you'll have those numbers.
Further questions? Senator Anderson.
Chairman, or Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, if you would just go over quickly again what the governor did in regard to community college major maintenance. I wasn't sure just what the comment was there, what the outcome was of that 300 section.
Mr. President?
Yes, Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, the outcome was he did nothing in terms of vetoing. He just had some concerns about the longer-term effects and expressed those concerns.
Further questions? Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. President. Going back to the municipal landfill account, if we don't have a severe fire season, then does that money go back to the municipal landfill account to move it up to the $40 million, or does the money just sit in the fire account?
Senator Bebout.
My understanding, and I'll verify if I made a mistake on that, my understanding, if it's not used for fire suppression through this fire season coming up this year, it stays in that land account. So no money's used there. We would come back and see $45 million in there. Any that is used, when he submits to us his budget for the 2015-16 season, he will put money in there to replace that, and it's up to him to find it.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Concurrence. Senator Landon, are you ready on message number 407 in reference to Senate File 130?
I am, Mr. President.
Reading clerk will read in message 407.
February the 21st, 2013, message number 407, concurrence requested from the House of Representatives. Mr. President, Senate File 130, Professional Licensing Military. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message 407 with respect to Senate File 130 and ask my fellow senators to join me in voting aye on this concurrence. Senators, you'll see if you pulled out your sheet on message 407, what the other side did was to simply change some language. You'll remember that we brought that bill out over here and tightened it up rather significantly to make sure that what we were talking about when we asked those state boards to give consideration to our military, we asked that to be a two-year window of a time when a military officer is separated from the military. Well, in conversations with the general and with our Veterans Commission, I have been assured that the word released actually works a little bit better in terms of their separation from the military. So that's all they did to that bill, and I would ask the Senate to vote aye.
Any discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 130. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard. Bebout,
aye.
Burns,
aye.
Case,
no.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 130. Senator Kraft, are you ready on message number 439 in reference to Senate File 147?
I am, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in message 439.
February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 439, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 147, Stroke and Heart Attack Treatment Centers. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 36, noes 23, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments.
Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I would move message number 439 to Senate File 147. I would ask you to vote aye. What the other body did was they tightened some language here. If you recall this particular piece of legislation, it deals with stroke and heart attack treatment centers, and we were very clear that all we were asking the Department of Health to do was be an information dissemination agency. We were not expecting them to do any of the accreditation or to revoke any of the accreditations. That was all done by the accrediting bodies. They were merely to publicize it on their website and to encourage communication among receiving and referring hospitals. We tightened the language. The House tightened it further in terms of saying instead of suspend or revoke, withdraw. They also eliminated the language saying that it's subject to the Wyoming Administrative Procedure Act simply because there is nothing for this particular agency to do. Therefore, it's needless to have in the piece of legislation in the bill. So with that brief explanation, I would encourage your aye vote.
Discussion. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 147. You've been asked to vote aye, and Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader? Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 147. Senator Kraft, are you ready on message number 435 in reference to Senate File 162?
I am, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in message 435.
February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message number 435, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 162, authorized taking of an eagle. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message 435 to Senate File 162. I would ask you to vote aye. All the House did, this was the bill that addressed the authorized taking of an eagle and brought our statutes in conformance with federal statutes. The House was very supportive of this particular piece of legislation, but they wanted to make very, very clear in the catch title that this is not wanton taking of eagles. This is under federal and state law. So that's all they did was in the catch title where it originally said authorized taking of an eagle, they added under federal and state law. They just wanted to be very clear. So with that, I would ask you to vote aye.
Discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, it doesn't make any difference. These catch titles have no legal significance. And I think people keep having an illusion that they do. I don't know whether we ought to, I just assume we voted no on the whole bill, but I'm not sure we want to encourage the House in this kind of trivial amendment.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's always fun to mess with them a little bit, Mr. President. Let's just pass it on and just pretend like they did some good work. It's no big deal.
Question.
Mr. President.
Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much. I would really like to concur with my good colleague from Fremont County. This was done in committee, and we pointed out total lack of necessity to do anything to a catch title. So we've made that point. I don't want to encourage them by having any more debate on this issue. I would agree with him and urge you to say yes. Thank you.
Okay. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 162. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross,
aye.
Closing.
Perkins,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 ayes, 2 noes, and 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 162. Mr. Vice President, are you ready on message number 438 in reference to Senate File 90?
Yes, sir, Mr. President, I am.
Reading clerk will read in message 438.
February the 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message number 438, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 90, administrative control of acquired institutional lands. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move message number 438, concurrence requested for Senate File 90, administrative control of acquired institutional lands. Mr. President, members of the Senate, you recall this is a bill where we looked at three agencies, Department of Family Services, Department of Health, and Department of Corrections, and talked about there might be a higher and better use of the lands that they have for their institutional lands. The Senate tightened that language down considerably, and those amendments did stay other than one particular amendment. And, Mr. President, I'll go through the changes they made. If you have the bill, if you look on page 1, they added into the title that creating an institutional land revenue fund providing the disposition of revenues from sale of institutional lands are specified. Mr. President, what the House did, rather than have three separate funds for each agency, they put all three together into one and called it the Institutional Land Revenue Fund. And then the money out of that fund, through an appropriation by the legislature, and only if the legislature appropriate, it would be able to be utilized for those three particular agencies. If you turn to page two of the bill, they had my tall colleague from Natrona County type amendment on line 13. They deleted such and put in these. And then if you look at the lines 14 through 17, where they eliminated the special revenue fund that we created for that one agency. There again, Mr. President, we're having one fund for all three agencies. And then if you go to page 3, and this is consistent for all three agencies, what they did, they deleted the requirement that we have to comply with local ordinance and zoning requirements. Mr. President, right now under our trust lands, we do not have to do that. The concern that the House had And I don't really see it possibly happening, but it's a valid concern that you could have a city council go into, say, at the WLRC in Lander and say, we do not want to have a certain kind of thing going on at that institution, and pass some kind of a local ordinance and that would go against the mission of that. I don't think they ought to be able to do that, and that's the House took that out. If you continue through that, they added a change on page 3 to line 19. Instead of school lands, they put trust lands. That was a cleanup and an appropriate. Page 4, again, Mr. President, the same language for, in this particular case, it was the Department of Family Services. Went through the same thing. They deleted the local ordinance and zoning requirements as we had on the previous one. The bottom of page 5, Mr. President, it was the Department of Corrections. Once again, the same changes. We deleted the special revenue account for them because we have one account for all three. And we deleted the word such, put in these. And we also took out the local ordinances and zoning requirements. Mr. President, if you go to page 8, you can see the end of that where we took out the local ordinances, but we put in a new section 2, and this creates the institutional land revenue funds to consist of revenues from the sale of the institutional lands and refers to three statutes, which is DFS, Department of Health, and Department of Corrections. The last thing they did, Mr. President, was on the bottom of page 8, instead of reporting to the Joint Minerals Committee, they said should point to the Joint Agriculture, State, and Public Lands. That's appropriate because that's the committee that deals with this. The last thing, Mr. President, on page 9 is they deleted the number of Section 3 and put in Section 4. I would be glad to answer your questions. If there are no questions, I ask you to vote aye.
Any discussion? Senator Case.
Mr. President, I appreciate the sponsor discussing these amendments with me earlier this morning, and I've been trying to think about them a little bit. I guess the one that gets me a bit is the fact that the state would develop land in a community without working with the community, Mr. President. You know, these facilities, by and large, are located within the municipal boundaries of our community. Certainly that's true with the Lander facility. And it's actually surrounded by residential neighborhood. There's a commercial strip and then residential on the backside. And, you know, I just sort of think that the state has an obligation to be a good neighbor. That if we're going to dispose of lands in these communities, which are right inside the community, probably have value for residential or what have you. And remember, Mr. President, we had a discussion here last year about a Department of Transportation facility that was to be located on some of this land in Lander. And I was trying to argue that that was sort of inappropriate, not a good place to do that, Mr. President, and that the state ought to be a better neighbor. So I guess I would speak against concurrence only in the fact that I think we should at least, if maybe local ordinances isn't exactly the right term, but I think we need to consult with the local communities with regards to the disposition of this land. So I would suggest that we not concur and go back and maybe work towards language that would say in consultation with local communities. It's very important. We need to be a good neighbor with these local communities.
Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. President, and I have a question on the formation of the single account idea, and it's over on the in Section 2. Traditionally, those lands are allocated to the institution that they're tied to, and every so often an institution uses those lands to make their operation better. The one case in point that I know of for sure was over at the state hospital, where they were given a certain amount of land for the state hospital in Evanston. They have some other land that provides a revenue stream. My question is, as the money folds into those accounts, will it remain separate? In other words, quote, for the benefit of the respective institutions? Or then does it become a lump sum that's open for all institutions to go in and try and do something else with it or make it disappear or those kind of things? I'm not sure how the one account, I was comfortable with three accounts. Now I'm not as comfortable. Can you tell me more detail how that would work?
Other discussion? Mr. Vice President?
How would you do that? Then it means like.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll answer the last question first. And these revenues would go into one fund, but it would only be for those three agencies, Family Services, Health, and Corrections. And that would be consolidated into one fund. Now, that would only be available for appropriation for those three agencies from the legislature. So if something should happen in a particular piece of ground, then they would all go into that fund. They would be available to be spent on those institutions, but it would require appropriation by the legislature. So you will not have, if something happened with the Department of Health and they sold a piece of ground for $1 million, it would go into that fund, but it could be available if the legislature saw fit to be utilized for corrections. That's the way that one fund would work. As to the wanting to go back and talk about the local ordinances and zoning, I would disagree with my colleague from Fremont County. Certainly, you know, you have situations right now that exist where you already have trust lands. So you take the WLRC, and they are trust lands. Part of that is a trust land. So the planning and zoning doesn't affect what they do. We're talking about the acquired land. So you have a trust land here, and contiguous to that might be an acquired land. I don't see the WLRC or the Building Commission going in and with acquired lands doing something that the City Council has been opposed to or is opposed to. And we haven't had that situation come up in the past. And certainly, if in fact they decided to do something different with that piece of ground and went out in the private sector, then the private sector would have to comply with all planning and zoning. So they would have to do it in that sense. So I still think it covers that, and I would ask the body to vote aye.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and with all due respect, from what I've just heard, I would suggest that we send this to conference committee. And my reasoning there is, if you lump all that money together, there's a distinct possibility that the agency that gets there first is going to get it all. And traditionally, we've used these monies for the benefit of the institution they were associated with, whether it's a state hospital or the prison in Rawlins or wherever it is. And that's been kind of one of their building blocks. And if we lump it all together, it becomes a first there, first served. And I'm very nervous about that, that we would do that. I think we could go back to conference committee with this and say, all right, you can put it all in one account. Maybe we'll get more revenue earned off of it. But you've got to track where the money came from, and then that is what is available, for example, to the Department of Health or to the Department of Corrections. And I think that can be done in a conference committee. It's within the parameters of both the House and the Senate side, and we'll say, all right, it's your money, you sell the land, you still get first shot at it. I urge you to vote no.
Question is, the motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 90. We've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader? Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas excused. Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
No.
Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 12 ayes, 17 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 90. Conference committee is Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Case, and Senator Schiffer. I like them peaches. Senator Hines.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. President.
Yes, you may.
Mr. President, there's a group of students here from Campbell County High School this morning, and it's been a while since I've been in school, high school, So I'm hoping this is the right group that's upstairs above you that I'm introducing. But I'd like to have the Senate help me welcome the group from Campbell County High School.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Hicks, are you ready? I missed number 436 in reference to Senate File 75.
Mr. President.
Yes.
I'd ask the bodies.
Wait just a moment. I got to read. Reading clerk will read in message number 436.
February 22nd, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 436, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 75, Honor Farm Horse Program. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd move message 436, concurrence on Honor Farm Horses, and ask for the body's no vote on this. Basically, the House stripped out the one amendment that was on this bill that would allow the Department of Corrections to bring in at least 8 horses from outside the state of Wyoming if none were available for specific purposes. You'll remember the example that I gave you before was the Marine Corps needed a specific color of horse for their honor guard. None was available. The House stripped that out, and then they put some other provisions in there that would allow the Livestock Board just to use the correctional facilities to dump any stray horses gathered. The trouble with that is there's no mechanism for payment, no mechanism for disposal of those horses, so I have no idea what was going through their mind at the time, but it's a completely unworkable situation, so I'd ask for you to say absolutely no.
Discussion. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 75, and you've been asked to vote nay. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
No.
Anderson District 28.
Nay.
Barnard.
Nay.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Absolutely not.
Case. Christensen.
Nay.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
Nay.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Americk. Esquibel, Geis,
no.
Hastert,
nay.
Hicks,
no.
Hines, Hines, Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Meyer,
nay.
Nicholas excused, Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
nay.
President Ross,
nay.
Closing vote, closing. Vote closed. 29 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 75. Conference Committee is Senator Hicks, Chairman. Driscoll and Schiffer. We have joint conference committee reports. Senator Burns, are you ready on joint conference committee report number 1 to House Bill 175? Second, I've screwed up the deal here. How do I get this back to where it was? I moved it somehow. All right. Thank you. The reading clerk will read in Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 175.
Joint Conference Committee report. House Bill 175, Juvenile Citations Notification by Law Enforcement. Reference Senate Message Number 334. Signing for the House, Representative Throne, Nicholas, and Walters. Signing for the Senate, Burns, Kraft, and Landon.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 175, Juvenile Citations Notification by Law Enforcement, and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, if you remember, this particular bill was the bill that required police to contact the parents of any juveniles who had been cited. When it came over here, there was discussion over the fact that House had removed language, shall take all reasonable actions and attempts, and had just put in attempt. And that did not sit well with the certain members of this body, and the Senate agreed with them. So we did not concur with them. In discussions in the conference, in discussions with the other side, they explained that part of the problem was the word all, taking all reasonable. The law enforcement interests were concerned about that could open them up to potential liability. So we basically cut the baby and just said state that they will take reasonable actions to contact the parents. And Mr. Chairman, I would ask the body to vote aye.
Any discussion? The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 in reference to House Bill 175. You've been asked to vote aye, and the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2? Aye. Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen? Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
Von
Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing.
Case,
aye to no. Case,
aye to no.
Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote to close. 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
By a vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 in reference to House Bill 175. Bills on, oh no, we got some enrolled acts, don't we? Enrolled Act, Senate Enrolled Act 53 being original Senate File 28.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 53 being original Senate File 28, an act relating to administration of government.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 53, being original Senate File 28. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 54, being original Senate File 36.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 54, being original Senate File 36, an act relating to insurance.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 55 being original. Oops. Senate File 50. About to sign Enrolled Act 54 being original Senate File 36. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 55 being original Senate File 159.
Senate enrolled Act Number 55, being original Senate File 159, and Act relating to crimes and offenses.
I'm about to sign Senate enrolled Act 55, being original Senate File 159. I have so signed. Senate enrolled Act 56, being original Senate File 9.
Senate enrolled Act Number 56, being original Senate File 9, and Act relating to real property.
About to sign Senate enrolled Act 56, being original Senate File 9. I have so signed. Senate enrolled Act 57, being original Senate File 16.
Senate enrolled Act Number 57, being original Senate File 16, an act relating to aeronautics programs.
I'm about to sign Senate enrolled Act 57, being original Senate File 16. I have so signed. Senate enrolled Act 58, being original Senate File 29.
Senate enrolled Act Number 58, being original Senate File 29, and Act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign Senate enrolled Act 58, being original Senate File 29. I have so signed. Senate enrolled Act 59, being original Senate File 80.
Senate enrolled Act 59, being original Senate File 80, an act relating to duties of the state auditor.
I'm about to sign Senate enrolled Act 59, being original Senate File 80. I have so signed. Senate enrolled Act 60, being original Senate File 84.
Senate enrolled Act 60, being original Senate File 84, an act relating to insurance.
About to sign Senate enrolled Act 60, being original Senate File 84. I have so signed. Senate enrolled Act 61, being original Senate File 99.
Senate enrolled Act Number 61, being original Senate File 99, an act relating to water and sewer districts.
I'm about to sign Senate enrolled Act 61, being original Senate File 99. I have so signed. Senate enrolled Act 62, being original Senate File 113.
Senate enrolled Act 62, being original Senate File 113, an act relating to insurance.
About to sign Senate enrolled Act 62, being original Senate File 113. I have so signed. And Senate enrolled Act 63, being original Senate File 115.
It's Senate enrolled Act Number 63, being original Senate File 115, an act relating to child and adult protective services.
I'm about to sign Senate enrolled Act 63, being original Senate File 115. I have so signed. Bills on second reading. House Bill 6, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 6, Solid Waste Disposal District Board Terms.
House Bill 6 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 7, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 7, Sanitary Facilities for Motion Picture Operators.
House Bill 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 35, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 35, Search and Rescue Operations.
House Bill 35, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 36, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 36, Property Offenses.
House Bill 36, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 41, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 41, Wild Bison Licenses.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 41.
House Bill 41, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy. Page 1, line 3.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 41. Members of the Senate, there's been a lot of discussion during this session about the Second Amendment and the rights to it and protecting those very, very important rights that we have as citizens of this great country of ours. And Mr. President, what this amendment does is there's a lot of concerns, I think, expressed by not only citizens of Wyoming but around our country. And the concern I've always had is with our Constitution clearly defining these Second Amendment rights and our right to bear arms, that the President administration could do something by executive order. And, Mr. President, we've all seen that there's been a lot of things under the President administration that's been done by executive order, and that certainly is something that we've read about and seen in the media. Mr. President, what this amendment does, it goes into the Wild Bison Licenses Bill. You would ask, well, why are we having a second reading amendment or second amendment protection rights for our right to bear arms in a bison bill? And, Mr. President, I would submit to you that it's kind of hard to hunt a wild bison without a gun. And so that's the logic as to why we put this in this particular bill. But the amendment is pretty clear. And if, in fact, the executive branch of our U.S. government decides to, by executive order, say that, you know, for whatever reason, we cannot bear or have a right to bear arms be infringed upon, and the Second Amendment that we give money to the Attorney General's office to fight this in the courts. And, Mr. President, that is what the amendment does, and we're glad to answer any questions.
Discussion, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, just a question for the sponsor. Would this also cover bow and arrow and spears for the early season? How do they shake out? We don't want to neglect that group of the population.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, by my reading of the bill and the amendment, this has about as much to do as having put it in the Sanitary Facilities for Motion Picture Operators bill. It's just not germane to the bill, and I would ask for a ruling from the chair on that.
I told him to go ahead and run it, but but I also expressed some reservation that it wasn't germane. It's the chair's ruling that it is not germane to the bill. Anybody request a rules meeting? Senator Hicks?
As a co-sponsor on this amendment, I would like to convene a rules committee to rule on the germaneness to this amendment.
All right. Rules Committee will convene in my office immediately. And the Senate will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. Okay. Members of the Senate, the ruling of the chair was that the amendment was not germane to the bill. The Rules Committee has voted to sustain the chair's ruling that Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 41 is not germane to the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. President. I think in the current instance, the ruling was correct, but Mr. President, I think it's possible to draw a more limited amendment that is germane to the bill and would announce my intention to do so and would welcome the sponsors of this one.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate my friend from the Toronto County bringing that up, and I too hope that there might be a way that we can revisit this. I would simply say that we don't inherit these wildlife problems, especially in this case, if it weren't for the mismanagement that takes place on federal lands in a federal national park. And that's why we face difficulties and issues with regard to that herd. So to me, that's a hinge point, and I think that maybe that can be drawn in. So thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. House Bill 41 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 42, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 42, land use planning.
House Bill 42 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 119, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 119, Department of Family Services Programs.
House Bill 119 have been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. And House Bill 127, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 127, Driver's Licenses Veterans Designation.
House Bill 127 haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Bills on third reading. Mr. Vice President, we're at that order of business consideration of bills for third reading. Do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list, and members of the Senate, three bills will be removed from that consent list: House Bill 203, House Bill 235, and House Bill 237. Mr. President, I move the third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 58, Community Infrastructure Program Amendments 2. House Bill 129, Voting Rights. House Bill 132, Chiropractic Licensure Amendments. And, Mr. President, I would ask that House Bill, without objection, 177 be laid back till tomorrow for third reading.
Without objection, House Bill 177 will be laid back for third reading tomorrow.
Mr. President, House Bill 217, Atomic Energy Act Agreement State Study. House Bill 228, Transfer of Federal Land Study. House Bill 234, Home Energy Assistance Program. And House Bill 259, State Elected Officials, Board Votes, and Chairmanship.
Would any of the senators like any of the other bills on the consent list removed? Hearing none, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 58, Community Infrastructure Program, Amendments 2, House Bill 129, Voting Rights, House Bill 132, Chiropractor Licensure Amendments, House Bill 217, Atomic Energy Act Agreement State Study, House Bill 228, Transfer of Federal Lands Study, House Bill 234, Home Energy Assistance Program, and House Bill 259, State Elected Officials, Board Votes, and Chairmanship. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas excused. Nutting. Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 58, are there any changes?
Bebout, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Hicks, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Anderson District 2, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Amrick, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 58, 13 ayes, 16 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 129, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Hines, aye to no.
Hicks,
aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Geis, aye to no.
Perkins,
aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Anderson, District 2, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Amrick, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
President Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 129, 15 ayes, 14 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 132, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 132, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 217, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 217, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 228, are there any changes? Hastert, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Esquibel, aye to no. Von Flateren, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
President Ross, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 228, 21 ayes, 8 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 234, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 234, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 259, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 259, 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the Senate, House Bill 132, House Bill 217, House Bill 228, House Bill 234, and House Bill 259 have passed the Senate. House Bill 58 and House Bill 129, having failed to receive affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, House Bills 58 and House Bill 129 have failed to pass the Senate. House Bill 203, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 203, Health Benefit Exchange Study and Select Committee, sponsored by Representative Harvey, and Act relating to the administration of government and health insurance exchanges and related functions under federal law, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have some amendments. Reading clerk will read in third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 203.
House Bill 203, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 10 after line 4.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment or third reading amendment to Senate House Bill 203. So third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 203 and ask for your favorable recommendations. Members of the Senate, what this does is remove that second reading amendment on the Medicaid expansion and not having take a look at that until 2:15. You know, members of the Senate, I really feel that, you know, we discussed the issues of it being germane. We've discussed some other issues, but I just over the weekend just was still bothering me, and it just really feel like this is sending the wrong message to our department, to our agency, our Department of Health, and to our director. It's like a no confidence vote to our agency head there in Cheyenne. And I think we should think about that when we vote on this. By removing this, all that allows the agency to do is to look at Medicaid expansion, keep up with it, and keep us informed. And have us be prepared for the next session. I think that's, the wisest move for this body, and ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment. Mr. President, sometimes a bad idea keeps coming back and coming back, and we debated the Medicaid expansion in full and bill to do that and rejected the idea for good reason. Mr. President, what this amendment would do would be to let the executive agency go ahead and do it in spite of us. And Medicaid expansion is a fundamental big-dollar expenditure, Mr. President. That's something that if the legislature is not going to abdicate its responsibility, that's a decision we ought to make. And unfortunately, the state of our law is such that the executive branch could go ahead on its own. Now, and what I expect if this amendment were to pass, and we didn't have the provision that's in the bill now in there, Mr. President, is Health and Human Services will provide some flexibility as to what the state can do. And then the agency will say, well, that's different, and go ahead and do it. And that's a decision, Mr. President, we ought to make. They may provide enough flexibility eventually to make it sensible for us to say, okay, we ought to expand the Medicaid program. And if they do that in the next year, we can handle that very nicely in the budget session. Now, very simple statute to pass. If they give us enough flexibility. I don't know whether they will or not, Mr. President, but that's a decision we ought to make as the people's elected representatives. So I would urge the defeat of this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I would speak on and in favor of this amendment. I would like to just remind you that this doesn't give the Department of Health a carte blanche to get up and do anything. They can't do it anyway or do it without us. This is merely eliminating that prohibition of even studying it. That's all we're asking. We're not giving them free rein to ride roughshod over us and expand any program without our approval. So I would urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Hastert, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would just respectfully say that the good senator from Natrona County is characterizing this as the ability for an agency to, just by merely looking into it, implement us. Nothing is going to happen, members of the Senate, without us, without this body acting. It can't happen. All I'm saying is that the agency should be able to look into and keep up to date with the provisions of the Affordable Health Care Act. Whether you agree or disagree with it, it's just simply saying, right now, that's the law of the land. We're going to keep you updated on what is happening with the ACA. And if we choose, if this body chooses to act next year and become part of that, it is this body's decision. No one else's, not the agency's. I would like to have the agency just simply keep us up to speed and so we can make informed votes.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, just to respond to one thing there, let's be very clear. The current state of the law, without the provision that we put into House Bill 203, is that there is no restraint on the agency going ahead and expanding or changing any eligibility in Medicaid. There is no restraint, Mr. President. So let's be clear on that.
Senator Hastert, would you like a third time?
Mr. Chairman, as I just stated, I simply disagree with that. That we need to put a prohibition clear out to 2015 when the ACA, the expansion takes, it goes into effect, and if we are able to as we already know, it's going to cost money because we're going to have a mandatory group coming in. And they cannot, I simply will disagree, and maybe we need to lay this back a day because if I'd certainly want to get a clear understanding of that statement before we actually take a final vote on, we can vote the amendments up and down, but I might want to discuss whether we should move this forward without having that discussion because I certainly want to be very clear on that.
Question is, Sal, third reading amendment number one to House Bill 203 pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And amendments failed. House, we have a second amendment to House Bill 203, third reading amendment number two. Reading clerk will read it in.
House Bill 203, third reading amendment number two to engross copy, page 10, line after line four.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 203 and ask for your favorable consideration. All we did in the Scott Amendment from second reading, or maybe it was Committee of the Whole, I don't remember. Anyway, we had put in there that it was, that's right in front of me, it was Committee of the Whole Amendment. We had put in there that it was there's April 1, 2005, that there could not be, 2005 would be a long time ago, Mr. President, 2015. And what we're doing here is this amendment simply just says without prior approval of the legislature. While I had a number of people coming to me, and including speaking with the director of the agency, and the April 1 of 2015, Mr. President, gives some folks heartburn. I explained to them as a legislature we're free to change that date next year, but nevertheless, the perception is that by removing the date certain and putting without a prior approval of the legislature, it seems to make a difference to a number of people out there. And again, the intent of the amendment from the Committee of the Whole was simply that it not be done without legislative approval. I think this meets that requirement and would ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, as usual, I think that the good senator from Natrona County has done some good work here, and I think that it does a couple of things. First of all, and you'll certainly hear from him, but I think it might take some of the heartburn away from my tall friend, because I agree with him. Certainly we don't want to get clear off the road without the legislature being involved. But by the same token, I appreciate the comments from the senator from Sweetwater County, because that's exactly the case too. I don't think we want to put ourselves in a straitjacket so that we are not in a position to be flexible and reactive. This health environment and the federal reform is going to come at us in waves with all sorts of details and things that we don't even know what are coming. And so I'd like to be in a position to react a little bit better. I think you all know that, having served on that committee with my good friend from the beautiful valley, we had a little bit of heartburn of loading a little bit too much on the horse here. We've already done that. That's okay. I think that committee can work hard to get its arms around that. This takes a little restriction away. I think it's a good amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I too rise in support of this amendment. I think it's a reasonable compromise. And, Mr. President, I took the liberty of consulting with the director of the Health Department, and this would be better language from his perspective. So I think it's an improvement, and that's what this process does, is it improves things.
Further discussion. Question is, shall third reading amendment number two to House Bill 203 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on House Bill 203? Seeing none. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 203 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas excused. Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 6 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 203, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 203 has passed the Senate. House Bill 235, third reading of the House Bill.
And I'm not there. House Bill 235, Firefighters License Plate, sponsored by Representative Green, and Act Relating to Motor Vehicles, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We have some amendments. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 235. The reading clerk will read it in.
House Bill 235, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 235. Mr. President, what this bill does is expands the firefighters license plate to retired firefighters, which kind of actually defeats the purpose of the firefighter's license plate in the first place, the theory having been that a firefighter pulls up to a catastrophe or calamity of some sort, the fact that whoever the police are or whoever's in charge sees that firefighter plate and knows somebody is going to come who has some training in disaster management could help them. Now it's for retired firefighters. Well, first of all, that first argument was kind of flawed because it may be the wife or the kid who's driving the car, but that's beside the point. Now we're expanding it to retired firefighters, so you could have an 80-year-old retired firefighter who could just as easily get in the way or get a heart attack or whatever. So I figured the plates aren't of much use. So I figured, Mr. President, let's put them to use. And so what this amendment does is, from now on, anybody who buys a firefighter's plate, there will be an extra $50 charge. That money will go into the fireman's pension account. And now that's account A, Mr. President. That's the one that is actually having some problems in terms of how paid up it is for its liabilities. And the account's closed, so there's really no very few other sources of getting money in there. Mr. President, I would like the body to keep in mind on this amendment that this applies to all firefighters' license plates, not just the retired ones. But the $50 is not too bad because those plates are good for 7 years, so it works out to about $7.50, $8 per year they'd be paying. And I think it goes to a good cause. So, Mr. President, I would ask that the body vote aye on this bill.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I have some concerns about the germaneness of this amendment. If you look at the bill, Mr. President, it talks about the qualifications, strictly the qualifications to be able to receive one of these plates. I don't think that a $50 fee put on here specifically is germane to the bill, and I'd ask that the chair rule on that.
Yikes. Senator Burns.
To quote Jackie Gleason from Smokey and the Bandit, the Germans ain't got nothing to do with this.
I don't think this thing's going to pass anyway, but... The ruling of the chair is that this amendment is not germane to the bill. Mr.
Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
I will abide by the ruling of the chair.
Good boy. let's see. We have another amendment.
Yeah. With all the police.
Second reading amendment number two to House Bill. Third reading amendment number two to House Bill 235. Reading clerk will read it in.
House Bill 235, third reading amendment number two. Delete the Perkins second reading amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading amendment number, third reading amendment number two to House Bill 235 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. We had a lot of fun, Mr. Chairman, and ultimately, my thought was that this bill could move forward and we could take care of this in conference committee, but Mr. Chairman, that means somebody has to be on the conference committee. So to save that issue, Mr. President, I bring you the second reading amendment, which goes back and deletes, the third reading amendment, which goes back and deletes my second reading amendment, which was great, great fun, but obviously it was only intended to be fun. And I would also report, Mr. President, that our good friend and part of driver services over in the department is very concerned that this might pass in its current form.
Discussion.
So I ask for your favorable consideration. You know, and Mr. President, I would point out to the body, I was the only one voted against the amendment last time.
So the question is, Senator Case.
Good idea is a good idea.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number two to House Bill 235 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendments failed. Division. All those in favor of the amendment, please stand. Those opposed?
Seven.
Third reading amendment number two to House Bill 235 is passed. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Hearing none. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 235 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout. Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Coe. Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Hines,
no. Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Ross,
aye.
Closing, Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote, closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes, 7 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 235. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 235 has passed the Senate. House Bill 237, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 237, Unemployment Insurance Worker Misconduct, sponsored by Representative Reeder. And act relating to unemployment insurance, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read in third reading amendment number one to House Bill 237.
House Bill 237, third reading amendment number one to engross copy. Delete the Scott second reading amendment.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 237. Mr. Chairman, this goes in and deletes the actions that occurred on Friday. I'd really like us to think about that some. You know, I guess the basic question is, when you fire someone because they're not being up to snuff in your workplace, should they get unemployment or not? Generally, we say that they should. You know, it's not, it's a social insurance program. Yes, you as the employer pay part of that premium. Mr. Chairman, it allows the person to get on their feet, move on to another job. We've had unemployment insurance since post-depression times, Mr. Chairman. It's been shown to be a good thing for the economy and help workers get along. I agree that sometimes we get a little crazy and extending it too long, all those sort of things, Mr. Chairman. But to be able to deny an employee their unemployment insurance, except for cases of gross misconduct, Mr. Chairman, I think is really a bad idea. It undercuts the safety net, and it would go directly against the Wyoming Supreme Court ruling, which brought about this case. And that ruling, I don't know if I can use the it's a well-known case, Mr. Chairman, and the court said, put in the language, and it's quite a long paragraph, but I'm just, how much time I got, Mr. President?
5 minutes.
Well, let's go. The intended meaning of the word misconduct, as used in the unemployment compensation statutes, is limited to conduct evincing such willful or wanton disregard of an employer's interest as to be found in deliberate violations or disregard of standards of behavior which the employer has the right to expect of his employee, or in careless or negligence of such a degree or reoccurrence as to manifest equal wrongful intent or evil design, or to show an intentional and substantial degree of the employer's interest or of the employee's duties and obligations to his employer. On the other hand, mere inefficiency, unsatisfactory conduct, failure in good performance as a result of inability or incapacity, inadvertence, or ordinary negligence in isolated instances, or good faith errors in judgment or discretion are deemed to be are not deemed to be misconduct within the meaning of the statute. Mr. Chairman, I think that's the kind of bar we got to draw with this bill. The higher level of being misconduct, all the things of ordinary negligence, repeated good faith errors, even incapacity, Mr. Chairman, they shouldn't lose their unemployment benefits for that. I think we need to restore that language. I suggest you support the amendment.
Discussion. Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, thank you. On and for the amendment. I really think that some of that language there in that last paragraph, on the end of that paragraph, really actually does a little more tightening and of the language. You know, just think of it as, let's just say, you know, it could save from a harsh interpretation of the paragraph above. You know, let's just say the employer says, you know, you kicked a bucket over on the floor above and spilled some water down on the guys down there, so because of that you're fired and then you don't get your insurance claims. And I really think that that last sentence in there is actually a helpful and actually a limitation in itself. On and for the amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. If you look in what the language does, I mean you've read you've heard the entire paragraph. But if you go and if you look at what what the bill is as it does now, it uses the first sentence of the paragraph, which is simply as you see in the bill, misconduct, and then it talks about it indicates a disregard of, and then you've got disregard of the employer's interests or disregard of the commonly accepted duties and obligations and responsibilities of the employee. Mr. Chairman, that's what the statement is. The rest of the paragraph simply amplifies or further expands on what that sentence means. So the problem I've always had with the amendment, Mr. Chairman, was it only included the one sentence of the paragraph. And my fear is if we restore that sentence, then I think the implication to the reviewing court is that we intentionally included that sentence but didn't intentionally include the first sentence.
Whereas if we just leave it the way that it is, Mr. Chairman, both of those sentences, both of those, the entire paragraph, I believe, remains intact. And that, and since the last two sentences of that paragraph, including the one that this would reinstate, are, again, are, Mr. President, are simply amplifications or further explanations of the first sentence. They don't. And my concern is that when we do one and not the other, that means something. And with respect to that, I think that, that in and of itself will lead to more problems than actually reinserting the sentence will lead to more problems than leaving it out will by far, I do believe.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and I agree with that, and Mr. President, on and against the amendment, the I had a conversation this morning with the director of the Department of Workforce Services who called up, and she was opposed to what we had done taking the sentence out, and I asked why, and the answer was, well, it would result in more people being able to claim unemployment insurance. And she had some adjective in there. I forget exactly what it was, but it was something to say too many more. And I said to her, you know, that's the purpose of the whole bill, that what's happened is the law has drifted through the court decisions to where it is virtually impossible for an employer to win one of these appeals. And what the bill is seeking to do is to rebalance that. And what the sentence the amendment took out puts in is a loophole that I think the attorneys will argue in virtually every case negates any denial. And remember that the department pays for the attorney to defend the workers, but the employer has to pay their own attorney. So the system is unbalanced to start with. You put this language back in, which this amendment would seek to do, and it would really be anti-employer for all the reasons cited, and we won't have changed the system. We need to move the pendulum back, Mr. President, to where we have a fair situation. So I would urge the defeat of the amendment.
Further discussion? Where the sponsor takes a second time. Senator Case.
Mr. President, I'm not sure, but I'm going to venture that I've been in more of these proceedings than anybody in this room has. And I know that it is stacked against the employer, and I'm very grateful for this bill, because I think that establishing what misconduct is a good thing. I'm grateful for the Supreme Court decision. This bill puts in what the Supreme Court decision is, and I think it does a good balance of putting in a flavor of what it is and what it is not, because I just read it, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. So what we want to have a policy where if you are, if you have a disregard of the employer's interest, that you don't get unemployment insurance. But if you have ordinary negligence or isolated instances where you make mistakes, you ought to be able to fire them. Then they ought to be able to go down and collect their unemployment insurance, and maybe they'll straighten out the next time. But there's a fine line. This bill draws that fine line. And I'm worried just the opposite of the good attorney from Casper, if we put this language, if we deliberately leave this language out, someone could rule that the intent of the legislature was, they can certainly argue that our intent was to allow for misconduct to include ordinary negligence or isolated instances of good faith errors. And you know that some attorney will go there and argue that because the very fact that we took it out. Let's be clear in what we mean. We're trying to do a balance. It means this, but it doesn't mean this.
Question is, shall Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 237 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment's passed.
Division.
Division's been called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed. Amendment's failed. Senator Hastert. You'd like to request that this bill be laid back? There's an objection. Chair rules that there's no need to lay this bill back for one day. House Bill 237 have been read three separate times. Question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
Yes.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hicks? Hicks?
No.
No. Hines?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas excused. Nutting? Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
No.
Burns, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 12 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 237, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the Senate, House Bill 237 has passed the Senate. Mr. Vice President, clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that we stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Any announcements? Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your Select Water Committee will meet in about 15 minutes up in S-15 to go over some bills and things and elect the new Chairman of the Select Water.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet in approximately 15 minutes to continue their work on confirmation hearings.
Further announcements, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder that Coleman Race for the Cure applications, I have quite a few of them on my desk here with some checks if you'd like to donate to that and just put a check in, bring it over.
Okay. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, could I ask members of the TRW Senate Committee to meet at my desk immediately upon recess?
Sure. Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m. Thank you.